weathering the storm. You know, every believer in Jesus Christ will weather storms at one time or another. And if we don't understand the dynamics of the storms as a Christian, we can find ourselves in deep spiritual trouble and even times with God doubting our faith. But if we understand that they're coming and that they're a part of God's plan, we're going to make it through. Guys, you need to realize storms are coming. I know you know that. Some of you are saying, Mark, don't tell me storms are coming. I'm in the midst of it. I already know the storm's coming. I want out of the storm. Well, wherever you are as a believer, you're either getting ready to go into one, you're in the middle of one, or you're coming out of one. Because that is the Christian life. And I know there's a little bit of R&R from time to time. I know that we have seasons of rest. God gives that. But we're in a battle. And oftentimes, because of that battle, we're in a storm. And we need to realize that as believers, and we need to be planning for it mentally so that when it happens, we don't lose our faith. Now realize this, there are different kinds of storms we face as believers, and there really are three basic kinds of storms that every storm we go through falls into. And that is this, number one, storms of sin. And that means simply you have done something sinful, and because of it, you're in a storm. You brought it on yourself. You knew better than to do it. The Bible told you not to do it. Your conscience told you not to do it. You did it, and now you've got this horrible storm. You can't blame God. You can't blame Satan. You can't blame anybody but yourself. It's a storm of sin. That's reality. We've had those before. Some of you may be in one now. The second kind of storm is basically the storm that God allows Satan to bring into our life. Yes, God allows Satan to bring storms into our life. This kind of storm happened with Job. Remember with Job, Satan came to God and said, God, let me at him. He says he loves you, but let me prove that he doesn't. And in order for God to show everyone throughout history that Job did love him, God allowed Satan to bring storms into his life. And although we may not like that, sometimes that happens, and it is to prove our love for God and to prove that we'll be faithful to the Lord, which, by the way we respond in storms says a lot, doesn't it? If we're blaming God, if we're complaining about God, if we're mad at God, God may have allowed the enemy to do it to show how much we love him. Are we showing how much we love him in the midst of it? Listen, I know we're human, but this is a reality that we need to understand as believers so we can fight the mental battle later and the mental battle better. And that is, Lord, don't let me blow my testimony in the midst of this storm. I've been in storms where my testimony was terrible. And when that happens, I say, God, you've got to grow me. You've got to mature me. I've got to be a good testimony for you, not for my sake and my reputation, God forbid, but for the unbelievers around me and for the believers around me that need to see, you know what? When Christians go through trials, they're going to be okay because God's with them. So there's the satanic storm that God allows. The third kind of storm, and this is probably the hardest one for us as believers to grasp, and that is a storm that God sends us to himself. God designs the storm. God ordains the storm, and God sends us in the storm. And Paul, we're going to see, go through one of those storms today exactly like that. Now, whether or not God allowed Satan to use it to try to dissuade him or stop him or kill him before he got to Rome, we don't know. But we know that God said, you're going to Rome. I'm going to get you there. And then in God's path to get him there, God sent him into a horrific storm where a ship actually sunk in the Adriatic Sea after leaving the Mediterranean and the Adriatic Sea. And they had to swim for their lives to shore. But God preserved him. And God preserved everyone on the ship. And so there's a couple things to note here, and that is that sometimes God sends us into storms, and then when God sometimes calls us to go somewhere, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. Are you guys with me? Just because it's not smooth sailing doesn't mean, well, God's not in it. I thought God called me, but this is so hard, it can't be God. It might be because it is God that it's so hard. And so we have to understand there are God-ordained storms. And so God uses them in our life in many different ways. And one of the ways, again, especially in a God-ordained storm, is so we can be witness to other people. And that is the people around us see us going through it, and they say, you know what, this guy's going through a terrible storm, but he's being faithful. And it draws people to the Lord. And so if we don't see God working in our lives in these storms, we can lose heart. They have a purpose, they have a reason, and God sends them for that purpose and reason. And because of that, we need to learn to rest and trust. You know, I was reminded of one of those storms, one of those God-ordained storms that you never would have seen God's hand in until many years later. But those of you who know Julianne Burleson and her testimony, I don't have time to go into it now. She has shared it with some of the women, and she may be sharing it more with the body even later on as she's working on her book. But I was talking to her a little bit about this a couple of days ago, and basically what happened to Julianne was she went down to Ecuador, and some friends, and I put that loosely in quotes, had her transport some things back to America with her. And when she got to customs, they had hidden, unbeknownst to her, a large amount of drugs inside of the paraphernalia that she was carrying back. They didn't believe her. She was shocked. She didn't even know it was there. She ended up spending 5 years in an Ecuadorian prison. And the testimony of what God did in that prison is amazing. All that will come later on with opportunities for her book or even her to share when it comes to that. But it's an amazing story. But this is what struck me when I was talking to Julianne about this. She said many years later, she talked to a drug lord that was there from Ecuador. And he said, I just wanted to talk to you. Matter of fact, it was actually while she was in prison, before she got out. She talked to a drug lord that was on the men's side that had asked to request a meeting with her. And she met with him and they set that up and allowed it. And he said, tell me your story. She said the story. He said, well, let me tell you what would have happened if you'd have made it through customs. He said, I do this all the time. And I use women like you to do it. He said, had you gotten through customs, there would have been somebody waiting for you in America. They would have taken you to an undisclosed location and either forced you to be a drug runner or a sex slave the rest of your life. I think a drug runner the rest of your life. Or they would have killed you on the spot if you had made it past that checkpoint. And it hit her for the first time in her life. God, if you had not had me arrested and thrown into jail, I would be dead today. Now, how many of us, if that happened, would be thinking, wow, I'm getting arrested in Ecuador and thrown in jail for 5 years. This is God, right? And yet, it was God. And not only did God spare her life through having her arrested, God used her in the prison as a witness and a testimony, and God is still using it now and what's going to happen in the testimony afterwards. Guys, understand, these are storms in life. Some of us have bigger storms, some of us have smaller storms. I personally like the smaller storms, but the bottom line is you're going to have a storm. It's going to happen, and we need to be ready. Now, we need to jump into this. There's a lot to cover today. Where we last left off with Paul, remember, Paul had been for 2 years up in Caesarea Philippi. He was not able to get a fair trial because the Jews were trying to kill him and the Romans were trying to do the Jews a favor. Nobody had any accusations they could really use against him. And now Paul appealed to Caesar, which was the right of every Roman citizen. You could appeal to Caesar, and they had to get you to Caesar on their penny, and you made your appeal. And so that's what Paul is doing now. Today we begin the journey. And what I love about this, not only did they begin the journey, but they began the journey at the government's expense. And that's always nice. And so Paul gets a free trip to Rome. Paul was doing a mission trip on the government, which is pretty cool. And so now, again, Paul starts his journey with this whole storm ahead that he doesn't even know is coming. But God is going to be faithful. Look at verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Amidratium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was also with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and note this, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. Now guys, note this, whenever God sends us on a journey for him, especially when God is sending us into a storm or any situation that God really is directing, God will move in the heart even of unbelievers to be a blessing to us. Note that. God controls the hearts of all people. And I know that not every believer is going to be nice to us. Some are very cruel to us. Some people are very mean, but I love watching this story here because I've seen this in other people's lives and I've seen it in my life as well in my walk with the Lord. God will move on the heart of an unsaved centurion to be kind to me, to be kind to you in the midst of our journey. How many prisoners are allowed these rights and these freedoms? And God now moves in his heart and gives him that freedom. And I only point this out to say, realize that when you're serving the Lord, God has the power over everyone's heart that you interact with. And God can turn their heart to the right or the left. Don't forget to ask God for help in that. Lord, move in this man's heart, move in her heart, move in this situation. God will be faithful to do it. And notice verse 4, when we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. So basically, we're seeing the journey here, and the centurion was the one in charge with all of the officers under him and everyone on the ships in getting these prisoners any way they could to Rome. Now they find this ship that can transport them on, and the journey continues. When we had sailed slowly for many days, we arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed. We sailed under the shelter of Crete and Salmone, and passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, which is near Lycia. Now, guys, this is interesting. Notice here as they begin their journey, it's not so bad at first. They're having a little bit of struggle with some headwinds, and now they finally, with difficulty, make it to this place called Fair Havens. Why is this happening? Well, what happens is, in this time of the year in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean, in the Adriatic, they start heading into late fall. And by the way, this would have been the end of October, right around the time we're in is when this was happening, interestingly enough. And then around the end of October, they start getting these storms there, and they move into the winter of these Euro-Cliden storms. They're these winds that come down off of the Asia Minor and sweep across the ocean and cause great storms in the Mediterranean, and oftentimes great storms there in the Adriatic. This is now the very onset. The winds of the storms are beginning, and they find themselves at some point they're going to have to stop and harbor for the winter. You wouldn't try to make it on across the Mediterranean or on through the Adriatic because you would want these storms to calm down and you'd want to wait until after the winter passed and then you would go on to Rome. So they're trying to find a place they can settle. The problem is they come to a place by the name of Fair Havens, which is kind of like we would call today a podunk country town. There was really nothing there, we know historically. No party town, no good restaurants, no clubs. And you're talking about soldiers in the Roman army. You're talking about the guys that want the partying and the women and all the great restaurants and all the events. And they pull into Fair Havens and it's like, hey, there's no way we can stay here. We're going to see they say this is not suitable to port in because, again, Fair Havens was not active enough for them. And yet notice what happens. Look at verse 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. In other words, I've been through this before. If you remember, Paul says he was shipwrecked numerous times. He spent days and nights floating in the ocean. Paul didn't want to repeat this. He'd already had some interesting storm experiences. He didn't want another one. And although he's a prisoner, he takes a chance and says, look, I can tell by the time of the year, by the winds that are blowing, we should winter right here. We need to stay in Fair Havens. This is a safe place. We don't have to go out into dangerous waters. We don't have to risk anything. Let's just stay here. But again, you got to remember now, you got a boat filled with lust-filled, fleshly, you know, Roman soldiers. The captains of the ship and all those that are running this thing, they're wanting to part. They're not happy with Fair Haven, and they're driven by different things. And so notice what happens, verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken of Paul. Who wants to listen to this pastor? I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care. Now, he wasn't giving him scripture here, but I'm using an analogy. A lot of times in these situations, the pastor or the spiritual person or you guys trying to share your faith or the word, you'll talk to someone and you'll say, look, I can see the direction you're heading is not going to end up good. You're going to end up in some big storms. You're going to have lots of problems and you're going to be destroyed. But what's interesting is because of their fleshly desires and being driven by their flesh, and we're going to see in a moment by their pride, and really this is by their pride, because what does this pastor know? We're professional sailors. I'm a Roman soldier. I'm going to talk to the captain of the ship. He'll know what the best thing to do is. We want to do what we want. Don't try to tell us what you believe is best, man of God, or whatever the case might be. And so we're going to see that they were led by their fleshly desires out of this place, Fair Havens, this safe harbor for the winter, heading out into dangerous waters, and where we'll see they will almost all perish. Now, guys, there's a huge picture in this and warning for us as believers. And what do I mean? Well, it's interesting to me. The word Fair Havens here, or the words Fair Havens, it literally means beautiful and suitable port. In other words, this was a place that was beautiful and suitable for them to stay and be safe for the winter until the storms passed. But because of their fleshly desires and because they didn't want to listen to what the spiritual guy had to say, they didn't want to listen to somebody reading from the Bible, we might say, if you want to put a modern day analogy on it, they said, you know what? I'm not happy here. I'm not pleased in the situation I'm in. I'm going to launch out into these waters, and they don't realize they're launching out into dangerous waters where they may drown and lose their life. And what is my analogy? Look, there may be some of you this morning right now that are discontent in your Christian walk. You're discontent in your life. Maybe you're discontent in your marriage. Maybe you're discontent in a job that you know God wants you to be in. That might be a job God is moving you on, but maybe you know God wants you to be there, but you just don't want to be there any longer. Maybe you're discontent in whatever your circumstances might be. It might be Christianity you're discontent with. I've been walking with the Lord and I feel let down because God hasn't done this, this, and this. Listen to me. God has brought you to Fair Havens. He has brought you to a beautiful and suitable port to keep you safe. If he's got boundaries around you right now that you're not pleased with, there's a reason God has done that. Don't fight against the Lord. Trust him and follow his lead. Because if you follow your fleshly desire to go and satisfy what you're not satisfied with, I've got to have more and my needs aren't being met or whatever the case might be. Listen to me, believer, you're traveling into dangerous waters. God has put you in a place where you can be protected right now. And if you travel out into those waters, you're going to travel into the storm and you're going to ignore the warning of the Lord. And when that happens, you may live, you may not, but we're going to see God spares their life. They could have all perished in this. And I've seen a lot of believers go down with the ship and not make it out because of that very thing. But they decide they know better. They're going to listen to their fleshly desire and venture what they want, and they're going to suffer the consequences. And notice verse 12, because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, again, only because it didn't have the party scene for them, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, not Arizona, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southeast and the northwest, and winter there. Hey, Phoenix was known as a party town. Phoenix has it happening, man. There's a Ruth Chris there. They got all the, you know, the nice nightclubs. They got everything in Phoenix, man. We're going to Phoenix. That's the place to be. Come on, let's do it. And they were allowing, again, their fleshly desires to drive them rather than realizing right in front of them were dangerous waters that could ruin their life. And Paul knows what's going to happen, or he has a strong suspicion of what's going to happen. And now we're going to find out Paul was right. Now we enter into the storm. Look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, note that, supposing they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. You know, oftentimes when we go in a path that we know God has told us not to, there can be smooth sailing for a while. Hey, this isn't so bad. You know, I know the Bible says that. I know the pastor said that last Sunday in the sermon. But you know what? This is not so bad. I stepped out in the waters. This is kind of pleasurable. This is nice. I'm enjoying this. And so far, there's no real storm. This is smooth sailing. Guys, be sure the storm is coming. Look at what happens. Verse 14, but not long after. I have that underlined. Because it's not going to be long until the winds are going to begin to increase if we choose to continue to disobey the Lord and travel out of our place of security into dangerous waters, the storm's going to come. Not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclidon. This is the one I was talking about where, again, the winds would come off of Asia Minor and stir up the ocean. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, they let her drive. Again, the storm got so bad, it's like they just gave up and said, you know what, we can't control the ship, we'll just let it go. And here's the dangerous thing about heading out into dangerous waters away from the call of God and that safe harbor that God has given us. There may be soft winds at first, but when the storms hit, we find that it's no longer us controlling our lives. The world's controlling it. Satan's controlling it. Our circumstances are controlling it. And rather than us steering the ship, we're being yanked back and forth by every wind that's blowing. And guys, that's the danger for all of us as believers. We have to make sure that we're allowing God to steer the ship, and it's not because we've made a foolish decision where now we're being yanked all over the place. Everything that we thought is out of our control now. That's exactly what's happening here. And running under the shelter of the island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. I find it interesting, the word Clauda here. And you know me, whenever I'm studying the scripture, I look at the word meanings and I look at everything because the Holy Spirit has built all of that in there. And I encourage you guys to do that. When you're studying the Bible, look at your word meanings. Look at all these things. If you don't know how to do it, I'll teach you how. The bottom line is that you need to be studying God's word to understand it. And the Holy Spirit speaks. And here in verse 16, Clauda, this island they went under here or went to after the storm had begun and they went the way that God didn't want them to, it literally means lame or crippled. And I find that very significant because that is exactly what happens to anyone that ventures out into waters they know they shouldn't be in. They become lame and crippled. Maybe not physically, but almost always spiritually. And so it's a warning to us to stay away from that. Now, we're going to see that although these guys are making a bad choice, a sinful choice for their storm, Paul is simply a passenger going along in Paul's life. God is using it in a godly way. Paul does not become lame. Paul does not become crippled because Paul trusts the Lord through the entire storm. And we're going to see that Paul stays faithful through it because of that. These guys are going to become quite endangered and, again, almost lose their lives. And so notice what happens here, verse 17, and when they had taken it on board, actually they secured the skiff with difficulty, and when they'd taken the skiff on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run aground on the Sirtis sands. That is an area where many ships would get stuck and sink. And they struck sail and were so driven because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed. And the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Guys, note this. The storm has gotten so bad now, they're grabbing some of the things that they felt were essential for their journey, and they're throwing them overboard. But you know, it's amazing. Whenever we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, we find out what is really essential and what is really not. And I think oftentimes God will allow us to go into the midst of a storm to show us what is non-essential, so that we'll grab the non-essentials and throw them overboard. If I hold on to this any longer in my life, I'm going to sink. Listen, believer, you may have something in your life this morning right now that God is saying, you're on the ship and you're in the middle of a storm and you're holding on to something that's causing the storm. You need to throw that overboard. You need to let it go because if you don't throw it overboard, it's going to pull you down. It's going to pull you overboard or make the sink ship. The ship sink, rather. Yeah, make the sink ship. It's a new thing that happened only in the language. That's why you've got to study these things. The bottom line is the ship's going to go down if you don't do it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I don't know what it is, but I've found that when I'm in the midst of storms, there's a lot of things in my life that I've been holding on to that God says, why are you holding on so tightly? Let that go. And when I let it go, that's when the blessing comes. That's when the storm begins to release. And that's when God does his greatest work. So they begin to throw these things overboard that they no longer need because it's causing problems in the midst of the storm. You get the analogy. And when the sun nor the stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Guys, have you ever given up hope? Some of you in your heart, you gave up hope. But let me ask you this. Are you sitting here this morning? You better believe it. You know what that tells me? God was faithful. There was no need for you to give up hope. You simply gave up hope, but God was faithful and God has shown himself faithful to you. Guys, it's very easy to be discouraged and sometimes to give up hope. And notice this, what caused them to give up hope? The storm was so bad, but now the clouds had become so bad they could no longer see the light anymore. They couldn't see the daylight. They couldn't see the stars. It was darkness wrapped in this cloud. And oftentimes in the midst of the storm, it can get so dark. And I've been in storms before that seem so dark, I'm thinking, Lord, where is there any light? You know, there's a light, you've heard that, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but when you get there, it's a train, right? That's what you're thinking anyway. No, there's a real light from God, and God is going to give us hope. But sometimes in the midst of that storm, when the clouds are wrapped around us and we can't see what we're doing or where we're going, listen, we can get into despair. We can feel hopeless. Lord, this is never going to end. There's no way out. There's no hope. That's what they're feeling now. So guys, understand this. The storm can cloud your vision. But just because your vision is clouded, believer, note this, just because your vision is clouded, God's is not. God is above the clouds. He's above the storm. He sees exactly where you are. He knows exactly where he's taking you. And God will be faithful to get you from point A to point B if you'll stay faithful to him. And yet they don't know those promises. Paul does, but they don't. They're giving up all hope. They're saying we can't see anymore. We've been blinded by the storm, so to speak. But after a long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. You know, I don't know that I would have said that, you know. I would think the tackle would go off board and then Paul would go off board. I don't know. I said, well, you know, right? Nobody likes to hear they messed up, right? I told you so. But guys, note this. This is not an I told you so moment. Paul goes on. He says, men and brethren, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Again, what he's saying is, the bottom line is, it's all going to be okay. And there's a lesson in this for us. Listen, Paul tells them, you know what, you should have listened, but now here's hope and here's the answer. That needs to be our answer, mom and dad, in dealing with our kids. That needs to be our answer, bosses, when you're dealing with your employees. That needs to be the answer when you're dealing with friends and they've messed up. What do I mean by that? Listen, you were warned not to do this, and now the consequences are there, but there's still hope. If you repent, if you turn, here's God's plan. This can all be restored. This can all be rescued. And so it's not wrong necessarily in love to tell someone that they should have listened, but we need to do it in the right heart, and then we need to have an answer for them afterwards. And Paul has an answer. Why does Paul have an answer? Because God had spoken to Paul. Paul had been spending time with God, and notice what Paul tells them. Take heart, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must, and note that, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who are with you. In other words, the reason I said no must, God is sending Paul on this journey. God is sending Paul to Rome. He must get there. There's not going to be anything that will stop him. No storm. It doesn't matter. God's going to be faithful. And we need to realize that when we're following the Lord, God will be faithful to get us there regardless of the storm because we must get to the other side. Jesus, the Bible says, is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's not the author. He doesn't push us in the back of the boat with a foot and say, good luck. See you on the other side, right? I remember I prayed one time with my dad right before surgery and I said, see you on the other side. And I meant at the surgery. And he said, well, son, that doesn't sound too encouraging, you know? God doesn't do that to us. God is with us. God directs us, and God makes sure that we get from point A to point B. And he's saying, look, God came to me and said, I've got to get there. I don't care how panicked you are. I don't care if you think the ship is going to sink. We're going to get there. We've got to, because God has promised. And indeed, God has granted all those who sail with you. That is, if you're with me, you're going to be okay. You know what? I love traveling with godly people. I remember getting on a flight one time that I was a little bit nervous about. I don't remember why. I don't know if there was a storm we were going into or what it was. But I remember seeing this world-renowned believer get on the plane. And I was like, yes, we're going to make it. You know, if I'm on here, good luck. Anything goes. But this guy, we're getting there. And I was like, peace. You know, it was relaxed, you know. Well, that's how it was with Paul. Paul's got to get to Rome. He's going to get there. And so he says, all right, all of you guys are going to go with me. Everybody, the angel told me that we're all going to get there. We're all going to be safe. Therefore, take heart, men. Note this. And guys, this is the key to making it through the storm without sinking. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. God has given you promises. God has told you he'll get you from point A to point B. God has said he'll see you through to the end. God said he'll finish the work he's begun in Christ Jesus. God said he's the author and finisher of your faith. He's not going to stop now, no matter how dangerous the storm looks, no matter how scary it is, no matter how dark but for all the clouds that wrap around your head. God is faithful and is going to be faithful to you in the midst of it. I love it. We have to believe God and believe his promises. That is our victory. However, he said in verse 26, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, this wouldn't be as encouraging. You know, again, says the ship's going to be lost, but you're going to be saved. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down on the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took some soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. So it's getting shallower. And then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern, that is the back of the boat, and they prayed for the day to come. Now, this is another thing that storms produce in our life. God uses storms in our life to produce a better prayer life. How many of you, when you've gone into a storm, have said, you know what, I'm in this horrible storm, the last thing I want to do is pray? When I go into a storm, the first thing I want to do is pray. And then I pray all the way through it. And I pray just, you know, crying out to God for help, because that's what the result of this is. So understand this. If you're in the midst of a storm today, one of the reasons you may be there is because God wants you to pray more. God wants you to seek him more. Maybe some of you have fallen away from prayer. Maybe you've fallen away from your time in the Word. You know, things are smooth sailing right now, so you haven't really needed it. And all of a sudden God says, you know what? I'm going to stir up your ocean a little bit. I'm going to send some waves your way. I'm going to let some winds blow. And all of a sudden the winds begin to blow and the water begins to get stirred. And what happens? Suddenly you're up doing quiet time again, aren't you? See, God knows what he's doing. God is faithful. He's a very good father and he's a very good shepherd. And so they prayed for day to come. And verse 30, and as the sailors were seeking, note this, to escape from the ship, and they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out more anchors at the prow, that is the front of the boat. They were acting like, we're going to let these down. We're going to put some anchors out. Really, they were going to escape the ship and get out of there, thinking they had a better chance now getting to land since they were close. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, I have that underlined, you cannot be saved. This is amazing here. Notice this. These guys decide they're going to escape the ship. You ever met a runner before? I have, because I used to be one. Whenever the kitchen got too hot, I was out of there. Well, if the kitchen's good hot, I'd eat first. Then I'm gone, right? No, but the bottom line is, I would leave whenever pressure started building. I didn't like it. I just didn't handle it well. And by God's grace and his time and over years of maturity, God has taught me to sit still and to be able to trust him. But some of you guys are runners in here. And you may be in the middle of a storm right now. Maybe it's a storm in your marriage. Maybe it's a storm at work. Maybe it's a storm in a relationship of some type, whatever it might be. And right now, you're being tempted to jump ship. You're being tempted to just escape and get out of there saying, look, I know it's got to be better than this. I've got to get out of here. Guys, listen to me. Listen to what Paul said. He said, unless they stay in the ship, we will all perish. They are going to perish. What is my point? Listen, when you find yourself in the midst of a storm, no matter how bad the storm is and no matter how bad you want to escape just to get out and make it easier, guys, don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. Because those that are faithful and stay in the ship with the Lord and his call and his direction and what God has called them to do, regardless of how scary it looks, regardless of how bad the storm is, you're going to survive. The ones that I see fail, the ones that I see sink, the ones that I see drown, they're the ones that jump ship. And we've got to be faithful to say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. Paul knew this, and even Paul telling him to do this because God said he would spare everyone. You've got to stay with God's plan for this thing to work, in other words. And Paul now, having their attention, because he had shown that God was with him so greatly, now speaks to this centurion, which is really his boss, so to speak. Paul's a prisoner. The captain, nobody else matters. They're now listening to Paul because they see they're all scared and they see God's hand on Paul. He said, you better tell them that they can't leave or we're all going to perish. And I love what this guy does. Look at this. He takes it so seriously because he's seen God's work in Paul's life. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and they let it fall off the ship. Guys, note that. He said, we're not going to take any chance of anybody being disobedient to God's command here. I'm going to cut this rope and lose any opportunity for me or anyone else on this ship to flee. Guys, what a lesson that is for us. Because in your situation that you're being tempted to run from right now, in your situation that you're being tempted to flee from, if there is anything that is still tied to your boat that is an out, well, there is this girl I used to go to high school with, well, there is this guy that I met at the office a few years back, and I think he would love me. Well, there is this, and we go down the list, whatever the case might be. Listen, you need to cut that off. Don't even leave it attached to your commitment ship. Cut it off, let it drop and float away in the ocean, because if there's any avenue to escape and you find yourself in a moment of weakness, you may take that way of escape. And so what they did was they said, no, there's not going to be a way of escape. We're going to survive this storm. We're going to stay in the ship where God has called us. We're not going to jump ship. We're going to believe that God is speaking through this man that we've seen God's hand in. We're cutting the skiff away. We're letting this thing fall. They did it. I love it. And we need to do the same thing. And as day was about to dawn, verse 33, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day that you've waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Again, probably because they were sick from the storm, as well as also just extremely distraught. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. You're going to be okay. Trust what God has said, in other words. And when he had said these things, he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had broken it, they began to eat. I love it. There was no government restriction on a prayer to Jesus on this ship, was there? Not when it's going down and you're about to die. As they say, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Then they were all encouraged and they all took food for themselves. Now, why would God want them to do this? Because they needed strength to swim. They're going to have a boat, you know, shipwreck, and they're going to have to swim to the shore. And in all, there were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and they threw the wheat into the sea. You know what? We're getting rid of everything to try to spare the ship here and see how long we can stay afloat. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach under which they had planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors, in other words, just drive it into the shore so we can all jump off and get to land, rather than just dying out here in the ocean. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast. The front of the boat just buried into it and boom, stuck. But there were these two waters that came from both directions, is what it's describing here on the boat. And they remained immovable, but the stern, that is the back of the boat, was being broken up by the violence of the waves. So it was an area where the waters were coming from both directions in the storm and smashing the ship. The front of the ship stuck, the back of the ship swaying back and forth, the creaking of the wood, the thing beginning to break up, and they knew this thing's going to explode. And indeed, it does explode. Verse 42, and the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. Again, if you were a Roman soldier and you let your prisoner escape, they would kill you. So they said, we're not going to die for these guys. Draw your swords, let's kill them all, then we'll make it for sure. But again, notice this, because God had given Paul favor. Verse 43, but the centurion, wanting to save Paul, isn't that interesting, kept them from their purpose. And he commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard and go to land. Hey, if you can swim, just jump over and go for it. The rest of you, some on boards, that is, they surfed in, and some on parts of the ship, they didn't really surf in, that was a bad joke. Some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they escaped safely to land, and when they had escaped, they found they were on the island of Malta. And next week, we will get to the island of Malta and see what happened with Paul and the miracles God did there as he continues his journey to Rome. But guys, as we finish this today, listen, here's the question I have for you. Are you in a storm today? If you're not in a storm, you're going to be at some point. Every believer goes in them, some small, some medium, some large, some biggie size. But I don't know where you are in your storm situation, but here's the bottom line. If you're in the midst of a storm, and it's a sinful storm, repent. If you brought the storm on yourself because you're living in sin, then confess it and repent and start doing right. And if you do that, the storm will pass. God is getting your attention. He's trying to break you and bring you back to the place you need to be, back to fair havens, back to that beautiful and suitable port that you should have stayed in to begin with, rather than venturing out into dangerous waters that you knew better than. That's number one. But if you're in those second two categories, either a demonic storm that God has allowed or a storm that God himself has sent you into, guys, don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. If you jump ship, you have a good chance of perishing. And I've seen many believers do it. They panic, they jump ship, and they die in their walk. They die in their faith. They end up out in the world back just like they were before they were ever saved, and their lives are ruined. Their families are ruined. You be faithful. You know, it's interesting. When God was in the ship with the believers, the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, a storm came up like this. Horrible storm. They were sailors. They knew storms. So you know that it took a lot to make them afraid. They began to panic, and they said, God, we're going to die. We're going to die. You know, you got to help us, God. You know, you, and they run to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, you got to wake up. You know, Jesus, don't you love it? It's a storm. They think they're going to die, and Jesus is sleeping. You see his rest. He trusted the Father. And they wake him up, Lord, we're going to die. Don't you care that we're going to perish? We're all going to die. He said, oh, you have little faith. And I might add to that, Jesus was in the boat with them. I'm here with you guys. You think you're going to die? You really think we're all going down? I'm the Son of God. I created this ocean. I created the heavens, the sky, the stars. It's all under my power. I controlled it as a baby being held by my mother Mary in Bethlehem. I am God Almighty. You're worried about sinking? You're not going to sink, but here's the bottom line. You got to stay in the boat, and you got to make sure that you're in the right boat, and that is that you're in the boat with the Lord. And guys, if you are in the boat with the Lord, your boat is not going down. God will be faithful to you, and God will get you to the place where you're going to be. I know it's hard. Sometimes it's very hard. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that it's going to be easy. But if we, like Paul, will trust God and believe his promises, we'll make it. Don't jump ship. The sun will yet shine again. God will be faithful. Let's pray. Lord, my heart goes out to all those right now that are in the midst of a storm. And Lord, maybe some in the midst of terrible storms and not understanding what's going on. Maybe some understanding somewhat today after this in your word. Maybe some clarity coming to some degree, but not really still understanding all that's going on. But God, I just pray that you would give them your peace today. I pray that you would help each person in this room going through a storm to get refocused on you, to know that if they are in your will, Lord God, that you are in the boat with them, they will make it. You will get them to the other side. God, if there's someone here that are involved in sinful storms because of choices they've made, then I pray you bring them to repentance today. Bring them to a place of brokenness so they'd be restored. And if that's you, then get right with God. But Lord, I pray for those that are just going through storms because they're following you. And they're trying to live for you, and you've allowed the enemy to get at them to show their love for you, or you've allowed the storm to come to mature them and grow them and do all these things you want in their life. God, encourage them, strengthen them. For those who have their eyes so covered by all the storm's clouds that they can't even see their way out, remind them that you see clearly and that you will direct them to that safe haven. And Lord, I pray you encourage. I pray that no matter where each of us are in this sanctuary today, that when we leave this place, God, we would leave knowing that you are on the throne and that you are in control and that you are faithful and that your promises are faithful. And Lord, you will be faithful not only to see us through the storm, but to bring the most beautiful sunrise on the other side we've ever seen. Lord, whether it's here or whether it's entering the kingdom of God, you are faithful. Minister to your flock today, God. Encourage them and help them to be firm and to refuse to jump ship. And we thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.